This episode of Talkie Talk was originally recorded in the summer of 2021. We are excited to announce that Talkie Talk is officially returning. We will be recording and releasing new episodes very soon. Before then, we have two more Vault episodes coming your way. Next up is Old Boy, and after that is Birdman. Thanks for listening, and welcome to any new members of the Talkie Talk Army. Enjoy the episode.
Yowza. That was quite the start to the podcast.
So anyway, we're just talking about, you know, some political stuff. Welcome back to Talkie Talk, guys. There's going to be nothing I can put in the intro of this. So this week we watched Nomadland, the Oscar winner. So we went to see this movie in the theater about a week ago. We went, it was completely dead again. This time we were the only people in the theater, which was, we were very excited about. And that was a fun part. And then we watched this movie, and I swear, like, this whole movie, I've never seen Tyler score more in his life than while we were watching this movie.
It reminded me of church. I couldn't sit still.
Dude, I remember there's one point you just, like, leaned all the way back and just had your legs, like, laid. It was just, like, the most, like, eight-year-old position to be sitting.
It was funny because I was so excited to be in, like, the row H or whatever because of the extra leg room. And then halfway through, I was like, I just wish I could put my legs up on the row in front of me. It's just too much space. Speaking of too much space, Nomadland.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, dude. It's just every indie movie.
Yeah.
But less entertaining.
It's like the epitome of this bullshit, like, Art Nouveau movement where people are trying to fucking, like, find truth in nothing. Have you ever seen that piece of art that's a drawing of a pipe and then it says, this is not a pipe under it?
No.
It's famous.
That's
it's
real?
Like, I think it was, like, Dadaism or something that's just, like, art doesn't need to signify anything. And it's just, like, you know, what's the fucking point of communicating?
But I don't think that's the case with this. I think they thought they were being super profound.
It's a little different, yeah.
Dude, every piece of dialogue is like a fucking Hallmark greeting card.
It's
the most bland, nothing. They literally just say shit like, I'm not homeless, I'm houseless. Like, that's profound, dude. Home is where the heart is.
And I
it's
feel
like the same fucking thing.
I feel like it almost had those moments. It was like The Last Jedi.
I think that's a fair comparison.
Where it almost did that thing where it was like, wait, is it playing this self-aware where it's actually trying to point out the faults in this line of thinking?
No.
Whereas, like, Kylo Ren was like, we need to leave, like, both sides and start anew.
It,
like,
right.
Using the strength. And I like Last Jedi much more than I like Nomadland, by the way. But when she was with her family.
No.
Yeah.
There's no
dead
way.
Ass, no, it's so much better.
No way.
Not Rise of Skywalker. Last Jedi.
Oh. I was mixing them up.
Rise of Skywalker is by far the worst movie I've probably ever seen.
Easily, yeah.
The part where she's, like, with her family again, staying at her sister's house, and she's, like, getting in that fight over, like, you can't just live, like, one way, and everybody doesn't fit into the same mold, which is, like, wow, never fucking thought of that before. And it's just, like, wait a minute, is the movie saying she's, like, not really right? And then it's, like, oh, wait, no, the movie is, like, celebrating her fucking lifestyle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I feel like the movie tries to be self-aware in some moments in that it tries to be, like, oh, this life isn't all it's cracked up to be, like when you have to watch like a minute-long scene of Frances McDormand shitting in a bucket.
Dude, unbelievable.
I haven't been that angry in a long time.
Dude, that scene, I'm glad we were the only ones in the theater because we could just like exclaim
to each other. I was so pissed.
And dude, I was trying so hard to take that movie seriously.
Yeah.
Like you would make a joke and I'd be like, come on. Because it would be a scene that like at first seemed serious. And then, like, 10 seconds later, it'd be like, okay, I fucked up.
That was a good scene for me because that's where I realized that, like, we were kind of in the same boat with how we were perceiving this movie because up until then, I couldn't tell. Because you'd make some jokes, too, and I was like, oh, he's just a fucking hypocrite. And then in that scene, it was like, we're both like, all right.
We're
she's
like,
playing
on.
The flute, and then this fucking iTunes library grumbling stomach sound effect plays, and she's like, ooh, that's another thing too, which I'll get to after this, but I understand this movie so much more having watched movies that Frances McDormand or Frances McDermott? Irish Frances.
Frances McDormand, I think.
But anyway, I'm glad I've seen movies where she's does great in her role because I know for a fact that the scenes in which I don't find her believable are solely up to the writing and direction.
Yeah,
it's just
absolutely,
like, dude. It's just like, what the fuck is she supposed to do with this shit? And it's just like, this new movement shit that started in the last like decade where it's just like, let's just show life. And in that showing boring life, truth will emerge. And it's like, dude, everyone knows life can be boring. Everyone right. knows people have to shit. Everyone knows Frances McDormand gets diarrhea at least once a week. We've all seen it. It's fine. It's just
that
like,
was actually an improvised scene. The true method actor.
The director just kept the cameras rolling.
But yeah, dude, she really like she tried her best. I really like her as an actress. I think she's incredibly talented. You know, great job in Fargo, which I think is like a slightly overrated movie, but still a really good movie. You know, Three Billboards, like she fucking still made me cry. It's an incredible movie. And so
the shit in that one was earned.
Right? Honestly. Yeah, thematically.
Yeah.
That's why I was excited to see this movie because I like her a lot. It won fucking Best Picture. Parasite won last year. I'm like, okay, maybe they're like, you know,
getting it.
Maybe they are figuring it out. But it was like, oh no, they're just doing
pandering,
quote unquote, progressive movies.
Yeah, you know.
And it just happens to be that Parasite's a great movie.
That's the thing that's so bad about it is it's just fucking boring and it just doesn't say anything.
No.
This movie is like, what, an hour 51 or something like that?
Yeah, it was, felt like a fucking 3 hour.
Dude, there are movies with slow pacing that I love.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, like Stalker or like, I mean, people might crucify me for this, but like The Godfather, like it's slow.
I mentioned this after we watched it, but like First Reformed is one of the slowest movies I've ever seen. Like very intentionally early on in that movie, it like kind of bores you. But then as it progresses, there's this like uneasiness that comes in and like the fact that it takes so long and like subverts what you expect from editing, like rhythmic editing, where watch this little documentary with Paul Schrader.
They went to film school just so everyone
just
knows.
So you know. So you know. And he's talking about how he used the editing to try to get that uneasy, like almost boring tone. And he was saying like, when he cuts to a scene with a door, he'll cut to the door. What you expect from rhythmic editing is the door opens. But he would wait like 3 seconds and then the door opens. Mm. Or somebody would leave the frame and it would linger for a couple seconds and then cut to the next thing. And he talks about it being this back and forth about pushing the audience away in a way that makes them want to push back, you know? And this just like kind of just pushed you away and you didn't have any reason to push back at all.
Yeah, yeah. You just never end up caring about the characters, mostly because there's not too much of a recurring cast. There is some,
yeah.
With the guy who stalks her, and then one thing I really noticed was that the writing of her character changed depending on the other characters she was with, and not in like a good way, where like she becomes a different person depending on who she's interacting with. But like,
yeah,
in the scenes where she's interacting with the guy who's kind of like interested in her, like she's literally like she's Elon Musk, and she like I get that they were kind of going for that, like, again, the indie movie quirky, like, ah, these two people don't know what they're doing, and it's like,
right.
The only thing consistent about her is that she's just like just deadpan all the time. I feel like this should have just been a documentary because this person clearly is interested in the lifestyle that these people lead, because I read on the IMDb or Wikipedia or something that a lot of the people who act as like the nomads are actually real nomads.
Yeah, I was going to mention that too.
Yeah, and it's just like Frances McDormand's character like doesn't even like really exist. And I like,
like
she's just there for them to work off of, and she's kind of like a plank. To like foil them and develop those people a little bit. But like she never gets to do anything really.
Right. She's like a receptacle for all these other people.
Exactly.
Yeah. Most of her character is just like smiling and nodding.
Yeah. That's why she feels so soulless and socially inept.
Right. She clearly tries her best. Like she tries to make clear choices, but there's just so little for her to work with that like sometimes it just feels weird because she's clearly like really trying, but there's only so much you can do when the script is so boring and so like fucking pedestrian.
Yeah.
It feels like a first draft, dude. Like
It really feels like the director, I don't know if it's a first time, she's not a first time director, right?
No, she made something else. Apparently people like the other one, but people also like this one, so I don't know.
Yeah, true. I mean, I can't like make assumptions as to why it was like this, but it seems like she just kind of didn't want to make a huge decision either way to really make a clear-cut path for what the movie wanted to say. And it instead takes on this really just like flaccid kind of like fluctuating thing of like, well, maybe it's this, maybe it's this, maybe we'll just showcase life. And at the end of the day, like, it barely even like does that. It doesn't really like show many interesting things. And it, and like, again, like slow pacing can emphasize some things in a movie really effectively, but in this, it's just like, it just is not interesting. And you could argue that it was like, oh, it's meant to like represent the kind of like floundering nature of like not really knowing where you're going to be working or like living next time, you know, next month or something. And it's like, you could say that, but at the end of the day, it's just, it's not interesting.
Yeah.
There's no character relations that feel real, or like Frances McDormand is a fantastic actress, and there's no one moment that it really feels like I was impressed with anything she was doing, which again, like, because I have been impressed by what she's done in the past, I know it's not her.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of her performance feels like she's kind of like grasping for any sort of like interesting choice she can make.
Yeah.
It just comes off really weird and awkward. And again, not her fault. The script is like really fucking bad. That's the thing is like, even if you're going to make a movie like that, which is just like slice of life, sort of ambling, da da da. The script is not good. Like, it's not just boring because of the pacing. It's just like the script is terrible. The characters feel kind of fake. There'd be scenes where they deliver a couple lines. Like when that woman tells her about like having cancer, she's like, the first couple lines is like, okay.
Come around a bend with a cliff and find hundreds and hundreds of swallow nests on the wall of the cliff, and the swallows flying all around and reflecting in the water, so it looks like I'm flying with the swallows, and they're under me and over me and all around me. And the little babies are hatching out, and eggshells are falling out of the nest, landing on the water and floating on the water, these little white shells. It's like, it was just so awesome.
And then she's just like,
I felt like I'd done enough. My life was complete. If I died right then, that moment, be perfectly fine.
It's just like, okay.
That's what I was, I almost liked that scene because I was like, oh, is it showcasing like just how small she is? Because like the only person who's going to even like know her true story is like Frances McDormand's character.
Yeah.
And I kind of liked almost that feeling of like the existentialism of like cosmically, like this thing that feels so important to her. And this person who's kind of an influence in Frances McDormand's character's life is like so insignificant. But then they have the scene where she sends her the video of the bird she was talking about in the story. And Frances McDormand's like,
you made it, Swanky.
Bro, that's like not cool. That doesn't make any sense.
I mean, I could, if it was done better, I think it's just because it's done so poorly and so on the nose. Like, there's,
that's the hallmarkness of it that you were talking about too. It's like, wow, this moment like needs to hit. Like, this is pivotal. And it's like, would have been so much better if it was highlighted in a way that made it feel like small, which it could still feel profound even if it was small. But to, it would be better to like juxtapose that moment against something that was like larger. Like, even if it was something as stupid as her like being in like a planetarium or something when she got the video or something, like something, something that is just like, this is not that significant. But it's significant to her. It didn't feel like that. It was like, this is significant. Welcome to Hallmark. It was like,
right, exactly. Yeah, right. And especially because it's so on the nose and they tell you, she tells you exactly how you should feel about it.
Yeah.
That's when it becomes just so cliche and trite. If I could boil that movie down to one sentence, it would just be, home is where the heart is. That's like the themes of it. It really is.
Yeah.
Oh, and I have to mention this moment. That same woman who has cancer, when in that conversation, she says, because she really likes rocks, she's like a rock collector.
Maybe when I die, my friends will gather around a fire and toss a rock into the fire in memory of me.
And then, of course, you know, as soon as she says it, later on in the movie, after she dies, someone goes up to the campfire, tosses a rock in, but then takes a pause and says,
because she loved rocks.
It's just like, okay. It's just telling you everything. Like, who's going to forget that?
That's what I'm saying is, like, that's what's so bad about it is that, like, it, you can see what it's trying to do. Because, like, it does play that line as if it's supposed to be meaningful, but you know it's thinking it's trying to do the thing where it's like, is it meaningful or is it just life? As opposed to, like, a true Hallmark movie would be like, that's really important.
I honestly thought that the script wasn't even trying to do that. The way that I read that moment was like, thinking the audience would be like, why are they throwing rocks on the fire?
Well, hold on. I don't by any means with my explanation mean to imply that they thought the audience was intelligent.
Right. But I don't even think that they were even trying to make anything that was meaningful in that moment.
Yeah.
I think it was literally just to be like, here's what's happening in this scene. Okay. Yeah. Because even just him tossing, you know, kind of carelessly tossing a rock on the fire implies that, like you said, like sort of there's like a meaningless to it, but also meaning,
mm-hmm.
like if he just kind of tosses it, that says a lot more than she loved rocks.
That's what I'm saying. You know? Is like, I feel like it's weird that everyone can agree so heavily that this is Oscar baity, even though it looks nothing like the previous generation of Oscar bait movies. Like what I said, like The Butler
shifted.
And The King's Speech
and
The Help and shit like that. But it feels like it's trying to be more like quote unquote real. Like, it feels like it's like, this is life, this is real. We're tinting it blue a little bit, you know, we're going to make it, like, empty. We're going to make it, like, you know, pensive. And it's just like, that doesn't make it better. There's nothing wrong with having a movie be, like, indulgent or, like, fast-paced or, like, having things happen in it. Because fast-paced movies can be much more poignant than movies that just meander.
Like, meandering movies can also be very meaningful.
Yeah.
But at the same time, being slow and pensive doesn't make it meaningful.
Exactly. Like In Bruges is very fast paced for most of it, I feel like, and it's really profound.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Honestly pensive. So
kind of melancholy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. This movie sucks. I feel like I really did not emphasize just how much I was pissed off at that shitting scene, because I feel like it really does epitomize this whole fucking movement and like the worst side of it, which is just like, we have to show like gritty realism. We have to show like truth. And it's like, there are a lot of movies like what we just said, like In Bruges, that do a little bit of stylistic stuff, that do quick pacing, that showcase true life very effectively. Like, have you ever seen City of God?
No.
City of God does like the same thing, but it's like bam, 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 bam. Like the editing is so fast. It's really crisp. It's really done up. It's like, it's very action paced and fast paced. And it's just like, but it just does things so much more effectively than this movie that lends so much time to nothing.
Yeah.
Which, that's the thing, is like every single thing this movie tries to do is done better with so many other, like I feel like I've never been able to list so many movies as I can. Like when people ask me what my favorite movies are, I can't even list that many movies as I'm listing now, just thinking of movies that highlight how bad this fucking movie is.
Yeah, there's so many slow movies that are super compelling, like we're saying, or fast-paced movies that are more meaningful, you know?
Yeah.
And like Zama is another super slow movie that I think is fucking incredible and so compelling the whole time, because it manages to hold tension where there's enough going on and enough to think about that you're able to push back against that slow pace. But this, it's just like any thematic shit that could have been something to think about is they just tell you how they feel about it immediately.
Yeah.
And then, so there's nothing to even think about, you know? And to give it some credit, I think a lot of the cinematography was really good. I thought it was really pretty for the most part. But I remember we were talking about it afterwards, and I said that, and you said you felt like it only used like a handful of techniques, and it was more about like how it looked rather than like using cinematography. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I was thinking, oh, maybe that holds it up a little more, because it did look really good in a lot of cases. A lot of the landscape shots were really beautiful.
Yeah.
Even some of the meandery things, I was like, okay, this is really cool. I liked when she was just kind of taking a walk through the campsite and there's all this movement going on. It's like, okay, this is kind of cool. And there's a few moments like that. But I think you're right. I think it just leans on being aesthetically pleasing rather than being used in a way that makes the story more compelling.
Yeah. Another thing that stuck out to me that I said after we left the theater too was that it was just centered around like a functional aspect where like in the landscape shots, the function was moving towards making things look beautiful, which was good because it was aesthetically pleasing. But like every landscape shot is shot the same fucking way to showcase how beautiful it looks and how empty it looks. And every conversation shot is fucking close up. It's so boring. It looks like a fucking Lifetime movie. And like the lighting, the lighting and the composition sometimes, the lighting especially is better than a Lifetime movie. But the composition a lot of the time just feels like it's not doing anything. Like, yeah, I just mean, feels like this person's talking, so let's show them talking. Like, there was some cool stuff. Like, I remember, I think this got an audible gasp or maybe a scream from you when she stood up, when she was going to leave the house, and there was, like, the three windows in the shot. It was, like, the whole thing was silhouetted, and there were the three windows letting in, like, the blue early morning light, and that looked cool.
Yeah.
And that kind of like, felt purposeful, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but it's, like, that's one shot of, like, 1,000 fucking shots. Yeah, I mean, I'm ratting on this movie, but it's not like it didn't have some things that were done effectively. But
yeah,
at some point she's driving along the coast, I think maybe going to the house of the guy that she's interested in.
Yeah.
And she's driving through this like mountainous area and there's like fog, so she can't tell like where she's going. And it's like, that's cool.
That is really cool.
And
that's
effective because she doesn't really know what's waiting for her. But then in between those shots of her moving through that mountainous foggy area, or maybe right after, there's shots of just like, it's just a shot looking at like the sunset over the ocean. It's like, that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Like, what does that mean? Like, like it's pretty, but like, it doesn't symbolize anything.
Yeah.
Like her journey's not over. She's going somewhere new, but she's moving. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that needs to symbolize something, but I think like you're saying, a lot of the cinematography is just create this feeling of like emptiness and isolation, but being in this like huge, beautiful world. I think there is intention behind it, but it only uses like a few things to convey that.
Right.
One of which is just these huge wide shots. I do think that a lot of it was trying to be like, you know, showing the beauty of like the Midwest that people usually kind of rag on. And to that extent, I felt like, at least for some of it, I was like, oh, this is really cool. Like I haven't seen it in this light. Similar to Lawrence of Arabia in some ways with, you know, just the huge wide shots of like the sand. But, you know, then Lawrence of Arabia uses a lot of other techniques, too, as it keeps going.
Yeah. And it's like, how many times do you have to be told that, like, the Midwest is open and beautiful? And an hour and 50 minutes is not the answer.
Yeah.
To that question.
Exactly. Exactly. Or at least like put some stuff in there that's compelling beyond that.
I think this is a huge assumption, but I think what really happened was like the director had a vision and it was more documentary inclined, like showcasing life, because clearly this kind of wants to showcase life. And especially the use of like non-actors whose real lives are the situation. Like, it's kind of clear that like the director was at least interested in that story. It seems like either they got in over their head or they just like didn't know how to completely condense that into a movie, and maybe the production scheduling was just like too quick and they didn't have time.
It's possible,
in pre-production to get that really ironed out. It feels like someone had at least somewhat of a vision and then they were like, I need more time and I don't have the time, and now I just have to like, I have to do this with like half of my vision.
But I only looked a little bit at like the Wikipedia just to see. I guess what they did was, I think the production crew like lived out of a van. I think they did spend like a lot of time on filming. I think it's just like the concept behind it was like in theory cool, but then it just produced a kind of whack movie, which happens, you know, but I think that just was the intention. And I think it just didn't turn out well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I appreciate they were trying to give her credit, but.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's still a bad movie.
Right.
But, you know, I like to think that most bad movies are usually, you know, victims of like not enough pre-production time or not enough of an idea.
I think it's much more easy for a movie to be bad than good with all the moving parts. No, but like when we talked about Chinatown and shit and how that was just like the only reason it's so incredible was like, it was just all these different factors that like brought it from like a 300 page bloated script to like what it is now. And like the music was switched out like a week before, and like Jack Nicholson had to threaten them to get them to change the lighting back to how it was, and like all these things that would have sunk it.
Yeah.
And it just happened to come together. Most of the stuff was like production
based stuff. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying is like, you know, I think that a lot of movies just sink because it's just like too much stuff going on at once. And
yeah, but
that's I don't know if that's how it happened because I wasn't there.
But I mean, I do think it is very possible to just have a vision. It looks good on paper and then it just sucks. But what isn't good is when people just think they have to like it and then it gets best picture. I mean, some people liked it. I you know, things are subjective. I'm not going to say like if you liked it, you're a fucking idiot. But I think there's a lot of things I just didn't appreciate about it.
What I've been seeing from most people, it seems like people didn't like it.
Yeah, I feel you. But I was looking at like Letterboxd like an idiot, and
the people's megaphone.
Dude, like people just don't know what the fuck they're talking about. But there's a lot of positive reviews on there. But then the negative ones were like
fire.
Yeah, and in depth too. Like most of the positive ones were just like, this is life. This is beautiful. 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it feels like you just watched it and it felt kind of artsy, so you wanted it to be good. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe you just liked it a lot. I'm being too hard on it right now. I don't think they like didn't know what the fuck they were doing. Clearly it's competent.
Yeah.
A lot of the shots are like aesthetically good, and you need to have knowledge of filmmaking to make something like that. Like just make a documentary if you want it to be real life, like you're saying.
But even documentaries can have different ways in which they're edited and presented.
Like Apollo 11, one of the most beautiful movies I've ever seen. Dead ass. You'll watch it, dude. It's like humbling.
I'm down.
It's
I'm
so
down
good. To watch
it. Yeah, space shit always gets to me.
Yeah, especially like, seeing on the big screen, dude. Like I had like chills, dude. It's so crazy.
I've been getting back into like big animals and like deep ocean shit. And I'm like, oh, nice. That's so cool. I took a snapshot the other night because it's so funny. I put into YouTube search engine blue whale, and then I got an advertisement above. It just says, I got an advertisement that says need help national suicide hotline prevention. I was like, what the. It just says blue.
That's blue so whale. Funny. What
and
the
it's like
fuck?
Thinking of killing yourself. Now I am.
Yeah, after seeing how fucking insignificant I am.
That's what I'm saying. It's like I wonder how many people kill themselves after watching dinosaur videos.
Like, is that just a blip in the cosmic calendar?
Fuck, this thing could wreck me.
It's so funny.
I'll never be an apex predator.
Yeah, dude, animals are fire. Nature
so,
shit is fire.
So fucking cool.
I love documentaries, so I don't know. And plus, they like had real people, but then they gave them like fake characters anyway.
I'm talking about whales.
That were partially based shit. On their life. So just ask them how their fucking lives are instead of just making things up that are kind of close to life, but having Frances McDormand be the main character but have like no real agency or like do anything.
Dude, I was watching a video about the Challenger Deep and they were just like, yeah, it's 36,000 feet deep. And I was just like, that is so fucking deep.
That's
dude.
Unbelievable. Deep sea animals are, it's like aliens, dude. They're like aliens.
I was seriously like, literally, I was like a kid with like how easily entertained I was. They're like, yeah, no light goes down there. It's so deep. And I was like, fuck. That's deep. That's really dude, far down.
I feel like these days I'm like way more impressed by that shit than I was as a kid. Because I like I really like think about it and I'm like, dude, what the fuck? How do they live down there? How is this possible? You mean there's like 75% of the ocean isn't discovered yet? Yeah. It just like freaks me out. I get they're existential
like,
and shit.
Yeah,
it's
they
fire.
Were like, the Challenger Deep is the deepest known part of the ocean, but like, it's like 90% of the ocean floor is still unexplored. And I'm like, fuck.
Dude, like, what the fuck
there's
is down
there? There's
got to
be deeper shit down there.
Like, we don't know. Dude, there's like so many animals down there that we just have never
it's
seen.
So cool.
Like, oh, fucking hell.
Make a movie about that, Frances McDormand. Yeah, that shit's so cool.
So cool.
So fucking cool.
I'd much rather watch one of those than
oh, my
this
God.
Movie.
I would love to.
But I don't know. I think I'm reaching the end of the rope with
end
my...
End of Evangelion.
With my... critique of this movie. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Oh, dude, the Amazon propaganda was mad funny.
Yeah, that was another thing where I was just like, I feel like they're trying to play it like they're not propagandizing this. Like, they're like, oh, but look at how hard the lives are for these people. And it's like, you know full well, like, Amazon is like, yeah, put us in your movie.
Absolutely.
Fuck yeah.
Totally paid for it because, like, there's a shot that's, like, 15 seconds dude, long of just the Amazon logo. And then, dude, there's literally a line of dialogue where they're like, oh, how's working at Amazon been?
Are you working at Amazon again?
Yeah. You like it?
Yeah. Great money.
They pay just above minimum wage. It's so fire.
Yeah, very weird choices. But anyway, guys, how would we rate this movie? I've got mine in mind. I'm curious what yours is.
I would give it... Okay, this is actually, I mean, it's not hard for me because I know it's going to be a negative review, but I do feel like I don't want my review to like reflect like the competence of the production team because it's lit and it's filmed fine.
Yeah.
I would probably give it like a 3.5.
Whoa. That's fucking low.
Dude,
Jesus.
I mean, you saw how much I was like squirming. I think it might be my lowest score on the
three
whole
and
podcast.
A half, dude. That's brutal. You just said, though, like, it's competent, and, like, it looks good, and, like, 3.5
No, four.
Stay by it.
It's a 4.
I would give it fairly. I'd give it a 6 out of 10.
You're fucking mad, man.
No, dude. Like, it looks great at certain points. Like, it's not like, I don't think it's like
my
technically that's bad. Yeah,
my score is solely is like, well, not solely, but like, I just like so was not entertained by this movie.
I wasn't either, but I think
it just like nothing did it for me. Like, even though there was competence in it, all the competence was moving towards like nothing. So I feel like I can't, that's what the 3 points is. the three points is the fact that I know there was competence.
Wow.
And the 0.5 is for watching Frances McDormand shit in the
bucket. No, I fuck with that, dude. I love it. Okay. I love it. I was just surprised, but no, I absolutely, you should stick by that.
I do.
I honestly might even bring it down to a 5.5 now that I know. To be completely clear, and just so you guys know, it's not an oversight, for me, it is 1.5 points lower than Kong versus Godzilla. And for Tyler, it's, let's see, if we're doing 3.5, it would be 4 points lower than Kong versus Godzilla.
I think it'd be 3.5. Didn't I give it a 7?
I think I gave it like a 7.5.
7.5, okay.
But either way, just so you guys know, not an oversight, we think this movie is worse than Kong. I don't even want to frame it that way, because Kong versus Godzilla is
actually
good.
A good movie, right? Yeah.
But Kong versus Godzilla is better than the Academy Award winner this year. Easily.
Because it knew what it was doing.
Right.
And the competence was going towards something. And that something was like dumb fun.
Yeah.
But it did it
pulled
well.
It off like perfectly. Well, all right, guys. That is your Oscar take from Talkie Talk, Worst Movie of the Year Awards. So next week, we're going to do Old Boy finally, right?
Let's
do it. Probably not going to be good, but
it's so fucking good. I'm so excited to watch this with you. If you don't like it,
I'm very excited.
If you don't like it, I'll
You've been hyping this for so long.
Fuck you, new Old Boy.
And I think this time we're going to immediately do the podcast after the movie, so that should be interesting.
Yeah, baby.
Just turn it off and then fucking hop on the mics.
Hell yeah.
Like it's a dick.
Yeah, that album still holds up. I told you that,
right?
It
is still pretty good.
I rewatched the Holy Trinity of like terrible Fantano reviews the other day, which was Yeezus, Dark Twisted Fantasy, and Acid Rap. He gave Dark Twisted Fantasy and Acid Rap a 6, and he gave fucking Yeezus a 5.
Just a moron. Just doesn't know what he's talking about. Anyway, guys, next week,
Fantano
will be on our podcast.
I do like his stuff, even though I completely disagree with almost all
of it. He's a cornball, but
he at least can vocalize what he's thinking. He always has reasoning, even though I think his reasoning, especially for Yeezus, is so... Dude, for Acid Rap, so much of his argument... For so much of his argument, he said that like Chance touches upon like introspective themes, but then doesn't delve into them enough. And it's like,
just like
you,
Nomadland.
Dude, how can you even say that when fucking Acid Rain is one of the most like introspective fucking songs of the decade? It's so fucking good.
Yeah, and the second half of Pusher Man, whatever the fuck that's called.
What, Paranoia?
Yeah.
Yeah, Paranoia is fire.
So good.
So good.
Originally, it wasn't listed separately.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because it was just like a minute of silence and then it came in. But yeah,
that's great.
Incredible song. Yeah.
So good. Anyway.
Anyway.
Thank you, Anthony Fantano. Hit us up on Twitter. Send us your viewers.
Oh, yeah. You can follow us on social media. We have Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, technically. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or whatever the thing is these days. And we'll see you next week.
All right. Bye-bye.